This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. Wes, again, we keep telling you, COVID doesn't care. Doesn't care.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And sure enough, last night, another ACC game put on the back burner. And hopefully we can get this one in. This time involves the game you were getting ready to call this weekend at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium with Wake Forest and Duke.
Yeah, the contact tracing and COVID issues within the Wake Forest program, positive tests, quarantining and the like, have forced the, at least for the moment, the delay of the Wake-Duke game. Interesting to note, Mark, when the release was posted last night around 10:30, no immediate plans to play the game were announced. And that's a first, I think, for us this year, right? At least within conference play, right? A conference game scheduled for Saturday at this point right now is on hold. By the way, Duke, according to Jerry Palm, I think, of CBSSports.com, Duke becomes the 75th FBS team to have its schedule impacted by the coronavirus. That's a pretty daunting stat when you think about what we've been able to get through. But this week has turned into one for the ACC with Miami and Georgia Tech on the shelf, now Duke and Wake Forest on the shelf. This has turned into a tough week for the Atlantic Coast Conference, but the Wake-Duke game scheduled for noon on Saturday in Durham is now on the blocks, and we'll see what happens here. It opens up the back end of the schedule for a lot of conversation and a lot of speculation, and I'm very interested to see. Now, Duke has said they want to work, and Wake has said they want to work to try and get it done. We'll see what happens here. This one could get interesting, I think.
Well, you're trying to juggle everything here, right? And when I heard the news last night, the first thing I thought about was Blake James when he was on with us yesterday. And right. When they go through their routine, how many teams it affected within the ACC and the conference all working together to try to make this work? And it's not just necessarily Duke and Wake, right? It's one of those things that, okay, can we move this, flip that? This goes to the left, you go right. I mean, this is a – we keep talking about the word flexible and nimble and – pivoting and all that. You're watching it all unfold. And if we can get the game in somewhere, great. If we can't, then you just run out of weekends. We know December 19th is going to be the ACC championship game. Which two teams show up? That's to be determined. There's, I guess, always an opportunity on that day. Again, we're kind of speaking out loud and out of turn here a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would assume there's always an opportunity, assuming teams want to play the day of the championship game that are not tied into being in Charlotte to play. But keep in mind, too, that Wake Forest and Notre Dame have already flip-flopped and moved dates around in terms of playing December the 12th and the Duke Mayo Classic up in Winston-Salem. So, again, I don't have the answer to this, but, you know, this could be one of those trickle-down effect games, too, where we'll see if we can't squeeze this in. So far, so good for the ACC as far as not losing any games. But this one, I think, goes right to the top of the class in terms of this is a major priority. Can you figure out a way and a place and a time and a date and all that to figure out a way to play this game? And most importantly, since this COVID outbreak took place on the Wake Forest campus, we wish all those that have been affected by it, again, a speedy recovery. And that goes for everybody here this week, whether we're talking about the Miami-Georgia Tech game, and now Duke and Wake Forest. So we'll see where this goes. But, again, that story broke last night late, and I knew we'd go front row on this thing. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, it's almost literally on every hour of the day you kind of check now just to see what we've got. And, you know, again, COVID doesn't care, and we've seen spikes around the country. So, you know, it's not totally unexpected, I suppose.
Pack, here's an interesting question, and we've obviously got some other stories here we'll get to in this first block, but the idea of the game at some point, now, again, this is, as you said, we're kind of out over our skis a little bit here on this because we're just kind of speculating. But at some point here, don't you just run out of time to do this? I mean, the ACC just the day before, the interesting thing about this game is the ACC just the day before reset five games.
Right.
I mean, that part of it makes this even more complicated, I think, don't you?
Yeah, there's no question. And there's only so many weekends, right? And then you start getting into the fact of, do you get to the point from a safe and healthy safety and health standpoint, does it even make sense to play? You know, that needs to be, I mean, both parties mm-hmm. need to be interested to play if it turns out that, hey, the only place we can do this is December the 19th. Are you guys interested in playing? And that's a question that needs to be asked, too. I mean, you start getting into, from a semester standpoint, safety and health issues. You got the holidays. Mm-hmm. The game has no impact. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes into play here. But, you know, everybody's juggling right. all these balls in the air just to try to figure out a way to maneuver to get games in. And that's why I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Do you think we can get to the end of this college football season? And all of us that follow the sport yeah. and love it, and the players and the coaches, obviously you hope the answer is yes, but you know, there's just simply no guarantees here. And again, you just take what you can get coming up this week. And right now for the ACC, we're going to miss out on at least two games, at least two. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah. So that's the, that was the late breaking news. And when I say late, it was 10:30 last night when the release came out from the Atlantic Coast Conference talking about, at least for the moment, the fact that Wake and Duke in their 101st meeting will not be played this week due to positive COVID tests and thus quarantining on the Wake Forest campus. And our best, as Pac said, to everybody involved there. All right, news out of Clemson. Number 16's back in the lineup. Trevor Lawrence has returned to practice and is good to go for Saturday's high noon start at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee in a ballgame you can see on ABC. Trevor visited with the media yesterday, said he's ready for the fourth-ranked Tigers championship run down the stretch, and said, I feel just as good as I did when I left a few weeks ago. Back to normal, Lawrence said.
Well, this is
one of those... Coach Dabo Swinney. Go ahead, Pac.
I was going to say, this is one of those good news, bad news scenarios. The good news is Trevor Lawrence is back. The bad news is for Florida State, Trevor Lawrence is back. And, you know, the Noles have their hands full, needless to say. The folks out in the desert have them as a 30-some point underdog. But, you know, we keep talking about what we don't get right now in college football. I keep telling you, hey, embrace mm-hmm. what you do get. And the fact that you're going to get a chance to see 16 sling it again is great for college football.
I agree with you on that. Dabo Swinney talked about Trevor's return to his team.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, he's chomping at the bit to play, and he's Trevor. I mean, he's just well prepared and focused and you know, really locked in to trying to get back out and lead the team and play his best football. So you know what you're going to get from 16. There's no doubt about that.
As I pointed out to you, Wes, I think what's going to be interesting for Clemson is they're now chasing. I've told you that a couple times already this week. And after the loss to Notre Dame, I am sure that the last 2 weeks have been really intriguing on that campus and those meeting rooms and attitude and trying to get people healthy again. That now all of a sudden, hey, you know, people have been coming after you now for the last 5 years in this league. Now you've got to go chase it. And normally when that crew has chip on shoulder and they're in the chase mode, they're normally really, really good. So I suspect we'll see a pretty good version of the Tigers down the stretch here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And the ball game is at noon on Saturday from Tallahassee. One note from the business side of athletics that yesterday, and this is a good one, by the way, this is the kind of news you like to hear when you have a conference of really good institutions, and that is the graduation success rating of the ACC continues to lead all peer conferences nationally. The average graduation rate among ACC schools is 92%.
Strong.
And that is a heavy, heavy number, Pac.
That is strong. But this is what separates this conference from everybody else. You know, we'll sit here and talk about wins right. and losses and titles and, you know, who's got the belt and awards and all that stuff. But what separates this league from everybody mm-hmm. else is what it does academically. It's one of the reasons I think the student athletes, when they come on the show, we have so much fun with them. The dialogue's great conversation. It does not surprise me when I see numbers like this across the board. And it's not just one sport, it's everything. And the ACC has always taken a great deal of pride from an academic standpoint. And yeah, you may go to a football game, you may go to a basketball game, and nobody's going to tap you on the shoulder and go, oh, by the way, there's Susie Smith. What'd she have on her chemistry? You don't get that question at a sporting event. But what separates this league from everybody else is the work that's done in the classroom, in addition to winning championships and everything else. And the numbers that were unveiled yesterday were simply spectacular. I mean, they were just fantastic. Mm.
Yeah, the 92, by the way, matches the number from a year ago, and it's also 2% higher than the national average. A couple notes here to share with you about the graduation success rating of the ACC. 21 ACC teams achieved scores of 100 in the sports of men's and women's basketball and baseball. 8 Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball teams earned higher than the Division I basketball average, tying for the most among Power 5 conferences. And 11 ACC teams earned higher than the FBS average, tying also for the most among Power 5 conferences. So, congratulations to everybody on the hard work, not only the student-athletes, but also the people who support them in their academic progress. And congratulations to these institutions. That right there means a lot to a lot of different people with a lot of different avenues on these college campuses. So congratulations to everybody.
And a shout-out again, Larry Penley, old roommate, current Clemson golf coach, been there 38 years and change. Forget about the national titles, yeah. ACC titles. The Clemson men's golf program scored a perfect 100. And, Wes, again, it's all part of a long-standing tradition of the Clemson men's golf program academically saying, get on my back and let's go. Just want to throw that one out
long-standing?
There. Long-standing. Long-standing. For at least the early 80s. I can't go any further than that, but I can tell you since the early 80s, academically, the Clemson men's golf program continues to excel, not only in the links, but also in the classroom. And it all started from the early 80s. Let me emphasize that. Early 80s, Wes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to throw that out there. While we're bragging about the league and academics, again, what can I tell you? Clemson men's golf program. 100 is what they scored on that.
Maybe we just thought I'd have a sign that said, I led the way.
No. Hey. Whoa. There's no I on this one. I'm just pointing out a fact. All right? I'm just pointing out a fact. Now, if the program threw like a 92 or 94, I would be embarrassed with that. I'd be taken back by that. But a 100.
All right.
That's all you can do, Wes, as you well know. Hundreds is as good as it gets.
Yeah, hundreds is the most you can do.
That's as good as you can get. Kind of like if I went out there right now to hit it, I'd probably shoot 100. That's a 100. Tiger Woods got to play number 12 at Augusta 10 more times, it'd be 100.
Right. This is show 262 of Packer and Durham, the television program. Is it not, Mark?
That is correct. I can confirm that. That is right.
Yeah, all right. 262 television shows, and how many times has your former roommate Larry Penley been on this television show?
I talked to Larry about a month ago, and we kidded around about that. And
because the answer is zero.
Yeah, well, you know, he's waiting for the right time. Hey, if you want to bring him on tomorrow, I'd
be
more happy to call him.
We're getting there.
Okay.
I think we're getting there.
Okay. I mean, you know, Larry's not looking for the spotlight. You know, his team does all the work academically, you know, A's for everybody. I mean, you know, but if you want my man Penley on there, we can get Larry on here.
Let me speak on behalf, and I'm certainly not trying to speak out of line here in the opening segment of the show, but I think the Lumberjacks, Meg, Lewis, back row, everybody in the bunker, we're about ready to hear from Larry Penley.
Okay.
On your leadership in the early 80s.
He'll tell you.
I think we're about ready.
He'll tell you.
Yeah.
You got to do the work in the classroom.
Ready.
You got to do the work. And that's why the league separates itself from everybody else. And I can only speak for my alma mater. Our team set the standard. I'm just telling you.
That's right. All right.
I bet you Dabo Swinney would tell you. I bet you Dabo Swinney would say, hey, you know what? And they've done a great job.
I don't know. No.
Dabo would probably say, hey, you know what?
I don't think so.
Penley started all this. Bobby Robinson, who eventually went on to become the athletic director at Clemson University, was the golf coach. Transfer of power.
Nope.
To Larry Penley, and that's where the academic prowess all got started. That our class started
I know we're enjoying this soft dance down memory lane this morning when it comes to academics and your graduation success rating. But let me offer this. As Dan Radakovich rides into work this morning, Dabo Swinney walks into the Pierce football building.
They're acknowledging what I'm
saying.
Successful. Everybody's doing this right here. Dan Radakovich is driving in right now going, Pack's right. He's absolutely right.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, I feel confident that's not happening. Jim Clements is going to work there on the main campus at Clemson.
Do you want me to text President Clements and just get him to confirm? Huh? Because I could certainly do that.
That golf started this? That men's golf started this at Clemson?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I will change my rhetoric if, in fact, the esteemed president of Clemson University confirms that the academic performance in intercollegiate athletics at his institution began in the early 80s with men's golf. Yes, I will defer to you on all of this henceforth if that is confirmed. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to send President Clements a note during our break. He's busy. I know he's busy.
Sure he is.
There's a lot going on. He probably doesn't need our aggravation, much less another text from me. Because he's probably going to get it thinking, oh, Pac's looking for another out-of-state discount. And he's not getting anything from us. But it all started.
Yeah.
All early right. 80s. Clemson men's golf.
Okay. Program. We got – all right, you put the text together. Right. I'll tell folks what's going to happen on the show. And we got plenty to go because Ike Ekwonu is going to join us, the NC State offensive lineman who's had a fantastic year for Dave Doran. Leonard Hamilton is going to be here, the Florida State head basketball coach, champions a year ago. Look forward to talking to Coach Ham. Dayami Brown, the great wide receiver in North Carolina. It's a wonder he's agreed to do this show after being – quite frankly, jobbed out of some WRUs during the fall.
For 2 years it's been going on.
Yeah, for 2 years.
My man number two, Deuce over there at UNC. I should have won this thing 5 times. He never seems to win it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Now I'm getting upset during the break having to put up the nonsense from Bristol. Wes, they simply don't get it, Wes. That younger generation up there in Bristol. They don't get it.
Hold on.
What's the matter? You need more time? What's going on over there in Cartersville?
Be right with you.
You going to be all right? Uh-oh. Wes is on assignment.
All right. Good. We're good.
Live television is beautiful. All right. 844.
I'm sure whatever you said was really good, but yeah.
I just said that that younger generation up there in Bristol, I mean, we've got to set those guys straight. They just don't seem to understand history. Just got to get those guys straight.
Let me bring our audience into in kind of the corner of the room here of the Packer and Durham production meetings that sometimes happen on the air, sometimes happen off the air. Right before the show started today, Packer was talking about an exchange he had with a college fan yesterday from another institution, fan of another institution not involved in the ACC, but once was in the ACC.
Right.
And we had to let the Lumberjacks know that particular institution used to be in this league.
And really good.
And that when they were, it was a thing.
Back when they won championships.
Yes, exactly. and ones that, by the way, they celebrate with banners in their stadium today, as I recall, right?
As they should.
Don't they have a banner? Yeah.
Yes, because they haven't won anything in over 50 years. Yes, correct.
That's right. So there you go. So anyway, we move on.
We're
right?
just trying to help. We're just trying to help educate. That's all we do.
Well, and the conversation a moment ago was about professional golf and the fact that did Drew just say Johnny Miller never won anything?
Yes.
Is that what Drew just said?
Yeah, but he said he only won three tournaments. I think he won the Phoenix Open like 75 times in a row. Nevertheless, we've already come all to right. a screeching halt. Let's get back on the tracks here.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't. All right, ready for better, worse, or the same pack?
Let's do it.
All right, so the simple question is this. Will your men's basketball season be better, worse, or the same than the football season? It's that simple, all right? We're not talking about winning percentage. We're talking about factoring in expectations, reputations for the program, all right? So here we go. And we're going to start with Boston College. Currently 5-4 in football, and last year 13-19 in hoops. They were 7-13 and tied for 10th. Pack?
I think the football will have a better year than the basketball. And I'm rooting for Jim Christian. I think this is a really important year for him for a lot of reasons. I just think that what I've seen with Jeff Hafley this year in football has far exceeded what I thought he could do. And I would say that football will be in a better spot than basketball, would be my guess.
All right. I am going for Boston College. First of all, football has exceeded our expectations. Wouldn't you agree?
I just said that, yes.
Yeah. So now I would offer this. I think basketball will be better, but from the expectation standpoint, will it be better than football? I can't answer that. I think Winston Tabbs coming back for their basketball program is huge. I think C.J. Felder is a really, really good young player in this conference. And then Stephon Mitchell really gives them some stability and a guy who's willing to do it all. But I'm going to go slightly worse than football. How's that?
Well, hoops needs to have a good year. Mm-hmm. For Jim Christian, you know, there was a lot of speculation, let's be honest, around the ACC tournament, whether he's back or not, and who knows on that front. So this is, I think, a really an important year for him and for us to have a season, much like we talked about for football. Right. We need the same thing in basketball. And I think it's going to be a difficult year, to be honest with you, as we kind of move forward on this thing a week from now. But I think they will be a better team than they were a year ago in hoops, but I don't think they will be as good as football has been this fall.
All right, let's go to Clemson. Tigers, you know the story there, right? Football-wise?
Yep.
7-1. Picked to finish 10th in basketball, though. Wait a second.
Look,
I like their basketball team.
I think they have a chance to have a nice team, but is it going to be better than football? The answer is no, it's not.
No.
So football will be better than the basketball, but I do think, much like I just mentioned with BC, I think this year's version of Clemson basketball will be better than they were a year ago.
Absolutely. Yep. Agree with you. By the way, we did get some social media on all this. Shannon Tootin watches the show. Appreciate that, Shannon. Not a fair question for Clemson fans unless Brad Brownell takes us to the Final Four. Well, just put it right on out there.
I mean, but that's pretty much in the neighborhood. Right? I mean, that's, you know. No doubt.
Yeah.
But I don't think Clemson's a Final Four basketball team, but I do think with what they've got coming back, with Sims in particular coming back, and the other pieces around it, they'll have some experience, and they will be better than they were a year ago.
I think you're right. Duke next on the clock. Blue Devils, it's been a tough football campaign. 2-6 so far this year. Win at Syracuse and a win over Charlotte. Picked to finish second in basketball. I'm going to say it'll be better in basketball.
Wes, this is Clemson in reverse is what this is. This is exact polar opposite of Clemson. Football has been, I got to be honest with you, disappointing, especially after the first game against Notre Dame. I really thought Duke would have won a bunch more games, and it just has not happen for them on a football standpoint. Basketball, it's Coach K. Next wave of great players. Don't know if they'll win the league. Virginia's the pick, but they will be really, really good. And if they can stay healthy, you got to figure, assuming we have a March Madness, and I think we will this year at some point in time, might be in May, but Duke will be sticking their nose in everybody's business. So I think it's the exact opposite answer of Clemson.
At the Blue Devil, Rob, Robert Rigsby, fairly direct with his commentary pack. As a Duke fan, the basketball team damn well better be a lot better than the predictable play-calling football team. Jeez.
I mean, that's David Thanks, Cutcliffe Robert. On the calls, by the way. I mean, you got one of the best coaches, period.
There.
But it has been, let's begin. We're all about transparency here. It has been a difficult year in football at Duke. I just thought that they would be better in terms of wins, losses, performances, and everything across the board. But basketball starts next week, and I think Coach K and the gang will be just fine.
Yeah. Florida State's next. Mm. Knowles, 2-6 in football, picked to finish third in basketball.
No brainer.
They will be a lot better in basketball.
Yeah, no brainer.
Leonard Hamilton coming up with us, by the way.
I had a guy call the radio show yesterday afternoon and wanted to talk about Florida State, and he was talking about Mike Norvell and how much he liked him, but, man, how difficult it's been to watch this team football-wise, and the defense just hasn't done anything. And he went left and right, and he got done after about a two-minute rant. And I finally said to him, I said, hey, I got good news for you. He said, what's that? I said, Leonard Hamilton and the boys tip off next week. And he said, Pat, can you believe it? Man, here we are in Tallahassee, and normally we're so used to winning in football, but, man, men's basketball is rocking, the women's soccer. I said, yeah, you know, hey, you got to find positives in a year of COVID, right? And so the good news is that Leonard Hamilton is going to be loaded again. And, of course, we'll talk to Coach coming up here in about an hour. So we're looking forward to that.
Nick Snyder, FSU fan facing a football rebuild while Coach Ham has his program in championship contention. COVID stole 2020, and now time to spear 2021 was the tweet.
There you go.
Nick.
That'll be
Thanks,
good.
Nick. Appreciate that. Georgia Tech is 2-5 in football, picked ninth in basketball. I'm going to tell you, I think the Jackets will be a team that will be okay. They're going to be fine in basketball. Josh Pastner with us yesterday mentioned James Banks and Rodney Howard and others having a chance maybe to fill in for those spots. I think Georgia Tech, who had a winning record in the ACC last year for the first time since 2004, I think those three guys, Alvarado, DeVoe, and Wright, can win you a lot of games, Pac. I really do.
Josh Pastner, as you pointed out, was with us yesterday. Well, I think one of the things I said to him, I said, I don't believe there are eight teams in the league better than Georgia Tech. I do not believe that. I think they are going to be better than ninth, and I do think Jeff Collins is better than he was a year ago. So I think if you're a Jackets fan, you take a look at the big picture there and you say, you know what, I like the upward trend that we're going in football. Have we arrived? We have not. But I like where we're headed, and I think Josh Pastner's team is going to be good. I think they're going to be much better than what the media picked.
Louisville, a tough fall for the Cards. We had some expectation about where Louisville would go. 2-6 so far. Picked to finish fifth in basketball. And they play Friday night against Syracuse, by the way, on ESPN. John R. Reddy is our tweet here. He said, if it's as bad or worse, you'll see a bright orange glow coming from Louisville.
Wow. I will be the first to admit I was wrong about Louisville football. I thought the defense would be a little better. I thought the offense would be awesome. It's hard to believe they've won two games. I whiffed on Louisville football. I just thought they would be not necessarily an ACC championship team, but I thought they would be able to have an influence and be on the cusp, and they just didn't happen. Basketball lost everybody and their brother. We've already got injury news coming out of Louisville, but I trust Chris Mack. So the answer to this question becomes, I think, easy. And that is that Louisville basketball will have a better year than Louisville football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Last one in this segment is Miami Canes have had a great football campaign, 7-1, picked seventh in basketball. Their basketball is going to have to work to be as good as the football. Look, Chris Lyke's a marvelous player. Cam Augusti's on that team. They've done some really good recruiting in Coral Gables for hoops. But you've had a good football season. You got a chance to have a great football season. Maybe not to the standards of the 90s, but still really good for where you were a year ago. I'm not sure basketball gets there, Pac. I think it'll be – they'll have to really, really play well to reach kind of where football's gone.
I think Miami basketball, to me, is kind of a mystery team. They were kind of a mystery team to me last year, given the injuries and everything else that was going on. You didn't know if you ever got the real Miami basketball team a year ago. And I'm really kind of curious to see what it looks like this year, because I really don't know. But I do know that the football program, they may have one of those years, like I told you last week, Wes. You could have a scenario that Miami runs the table, loses one game, and is ranked near the top five in the country, and they're not even in the ACC title game or the college football playoff. But Manny Diaz has had a terrific year. And I just think the last 2 weeks – winning two games on the road when you're down double digits late and you find a way to win is a sign to me that they are building it the right way and that good things are happening. Now, again, I will tell you, a year ago in November, I thought they'd kind of turned a corner and then they just laid an egg down the stretch. But they had a chance to do that these last 2 weeks and won games, and a year ago they would have lost. So the answer to the question is, to me, mystery team for Miami for hoops. Football is in solid shape.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
All right, Mr. Durham, let's continue with the rest of the conference here. Try to get this thing on track.
All right, better, worse, or the same, your football season and your basketball season. Is your school's basketball season going to be better, worse, or the same than your football season? Let's start with Carolina. I mean, Pack, 6-2 in football, played pretty well. Expectations high. Feels like the same for basketball.
Yeah, this is the hardest team in the league, I think, because you could have very similar scenarios here. I think North Carolina right now is at the four spot in football, and I think it's about kind of where everybody thinks they're going to be in hoops. Even though with that dude right there, 15, Mr. Brooks, you got a chance, right? Because size, talent, experience, that is a big caveat in this league. I think this is the hardest one to do. I think North Carolina is the hardest one to figure out on this front. Football's been good. I think basketball will be good too, and certainly better than they were a year ago.
NC State, 5-3 in football, picked eighth in basketball. Look, the Wolfpack's had some injury issues. They have persevered in football for sure. I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of interested to see what this basketball team looks like with DJ Funderburk back, Devin Daniels there on the drive. They've done some really good recruiting for Kevin Keats. I think it could be the same, maybe a little better in basketball.
I think the opposite. I'm going to say football is going to be better. I'm with you with NC State hoops. They're kind of Miami-ish to me. It's like, okay, all right, Wolfpack. I get a sense that NC State's going to give us nights where you go, wow. That's a good-looking group now. Who wants a piece of those dudes? I think they're going to also give us some nights you go, wow, who are those guys? Right? I just think the Wolfpack could be one of those kind of teams. And we've kind of got that with their football a little bit, even though they've had the roller coaster ride of crazy wins and stuff. But I'm going to say football because I still think NC State's going to finish strong and close. I just think the schedule, I think they're better than we were a year ago. So I'm going to say football will be a little better than basketball.
All right. Notre Dame. I don't know how much better it gets in football. Basketball-wise for Mike Bray, no John Mooney, no Rex Pfluger. I like Prentice Hubb a ton. I think he's a great scorer. Juwan Durham's got to play big for them. Cormac Ryan is a transfer from Stanford. I think they're excited about in basketball, but I'm not sure it's going to get as good as football's been.
Not even close. Move on. It's football, football, football.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pittsburgh is next. Panthers, 4-4 in football, picked 13th in basketball, and This might be a sneaky hoops group. I'm going to say better in basketball. I think they're going to be better than 13th. Let's put it that way.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And, of course, I was high on Pitt hoops last year. I was really high on Pitt football before the season started, before October hit and everything else. But I agree with you. I think basketball will be better than football. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had some social media reaction to this one from at most likely Joe. We're getting really good Twitter handles, by the way. I'm a Pitt fan, so at this point I'm expecting us to be great, but totally prepared to be let down by the mediocrity.
That's sports, man. That's what, hey, when you sign up as a sports fan, that goes to everybody, and I don't care what team you root for.
I hear you.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah. All right, Syracuse. Syracuse is next. 1-7 in football, pick 6th in basketball. Basketball be better than football.
It has to. It better be. I mean, football has just been a tough, long struggle. So, yeah, it's going to be a basketball is the answer to the question. But I think a better question, though, Wes, is how good do you think Syracuse is going to be? Do you think they're the 6th best team in the league? I don't know the answer to that. Don't know.
I don't know the answer to that yet. Yeah. I'm with you.
I mean, did they give you the last game you saw them play?
Aren't you got a lot of pieces back, though?
Yeah, I know, which is good. But, you know,
back.
The last time we saw Syracuse play, they took the team that everybody thought was going to win the ACC tournament, win 5 in a row, and they beat North Carolina like it was against the law. And they rolled in the green, and they looked awesome. And you're like, who are these dudes, right? So, Syracuse to me is kind of another one of those dice roll teams, but basketball will be better than football.
All right, small transaction note yesterday. Jimmy Boeheim from Cornell went into the transfer portal, has played at Cornell for 3 years, I think. He's got a year left. The Ivy League canceled their basketball season. So Jimmy Boeheim went into the transfer portal yesterday. And we'll keep an eye on that, see if we have 3 Boeheims on a roster at some point in the future. All right, Virginia. We got 3 left here. Virginia, 3-4 in football, pick 1st in basketball. I have no problem saying basketball would be better than football. Douglas Harris was kind enough to participate in our little Twitter comment to this topic. We know one thing in Charlottesville, havoc, defense, and trophies.
Enough said. I can't add to that. That would be correct. 100% right.
Yeah. So thank you, Douglas. Appreciate your participation in this. There it is, right there. Look, put the trophy emoji up there.
I like it.
Well done.
Yep.
Good handiwork. All right. Virginia Tech, 4-4 in football, picked 11th in basketball. Pack.
Boy, this is hard. This is the
better
second.
Better than football?
This is the second hardest team for me to figure out. North Carolina was the hardest. This is the second hardest. You know, I got some buddies that keep telling me that Virginia Tech basketball is going to be like the ultimate surprise team of the upcoming year. And Coach Young, I thought he did a tremendous job last year. And they're one of those kind of teams that could totally fly underneath the radar. So football has been a little disappointing at 4-4. I thought they'd be better. Hokie Hoops is not getting enough love by the locals. So that would tell me fake left, go right. I'll go basketball.
Tommy Chamberlain apparently took up all 280 characters here. Much, much better. Virginia Tech basketball is going to be the surprise team of the year in the ACC. The only surprises we're getting on the football field is what new ways we're going to run QB power, jet sweep, and blow a game we should win.
Yikes.
Jeez.
Happy holidays.
Whoa. Coming in hot.
Happy holidays. Everybody be nice to each other out there. You'll be kind out there.
That's it. Let's go Wake Forest here to close things out. 4-3 in football with the Deacons on the sideline this Saturday. Pick 15th in basketball. And Steve Forbes, I love you, man. I think you're going to be fun for this league. I think you can really coach ball, but not right now.
Yeah, football's the answer. Football's the answer. And hoops is a work in progress. And curious to see what Coach does. With the Deeks there in Switzerland. But no, the answer to this one is football.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, Josh Pastner joined us yesterday here on the show, and when we had the coach with us, we talked about all this preseason practice and the run-up to next Wednesday night when the season starts, and I asked him, take me through what practice has been like and how it's been different from recent years.
Well, Wes, I mean, we're just trying to get to the games, and based on testing, anything that you test that's 48 hours prior to the day you took the test, if there was a positive and you had a contact practice, you're technically going to be shut down. So we've had to really adjust where we're practicing more non-contact than we are actually contact. Will that probably maybe hurt the product on the floor because, you know, you're going to be out of rhythm and sync? I don't know. Only time will tell. But the objective is to get to the game. And the only way to really to get to the game is if you know, because of the contact tracing rules at this point, you've got to avoid a lot of contact because 15 minutes accumulation of within 6 feet, if there is a positive test, you're shut down. And so that's the tricky part. I mean, look, how many times can you do 1-on-0 closeouts and 5-on-0, you know, just, you know, because, you know, look, the student athletes in sports, you both know this, you want to play, you want to compete. That's why there's a scoreboard. You want to play 5-on-5. You want to get after it. So it's been a little, it's been different. There's no other way to look at it. We're not the only team that's got to be different. I mean, everybody's got to be different. And, you know, with the objective in mind of let's get into that game floor and then go from there.
Josh, when you have the conference calls with all the other coaches in the league, is there a topic that you guys discuss amongst yourselves that we in the media probably haven't addressed enough during this pandemic that is a concern as far as could be operational, it could be a practice? I mean, I don't know what your answer is going to be here, but is there something that we're missing in the media or fans that we just don't have a handle that you guys have already gone through and trying to prepare for a season?
Yeah, you know, we have not had some calls as of late through the spring and all through the summer and the beginning of fall. We had a head coach's call for the ACC every Wednesday, and I thought it was really productive. I thought it was really good. We were able to bounce off ideas. You know, you saw what Rick Pitino said earlier this week, that the NC2A maybe should have taken the ACC's idea of just letting everyone in the NC2A tournament. Now, I don't know how you both feel about that, but based on this year with cancellations, this might be the year to do that with the possibility of cancellations. So that being said, you know, we talked on a lot of various topics, but depending on what the situation was on the time frame, obviously throughout the spring, summer, and fall, mostly of the conversations were around the COVID situation and how we're going to do this. And we talked a lot about, you know, we were talking about contact tracing and all those type of things. And so I don't think there was one main subject matter that was just discussed, but it was a lot of different ones, and everyone had really good ideas, and some, you know, happened that where they kind of put it in within the ACC that it went forward, and some just kind of died out. So, but that's what's part of those conference calls every Wednesday substituted the league meetings basically at that time. But we did try that one Wednesday, as you guys know, we did try to push out everyone being in the NC2A tournament. It was led by Coach Krzyzewski, and everybody agreed. Everybody wanted to do it. It just didn't get any traction nationally after a few hours. Which when you and we were thinking ahead of, you know, forecasting the possibility of the high cancellations. Now, some coaches had wanted to possibly try to say, you know, should we start in February and play like baseball, college baseball, and go February through June? But, you know, it's hard to obviously move the NC2A tournament. At the time, I think that was the issue, was moving the NC2A tournament, or could Turner and CBS really move the tournament? I think that was a big issue for that. But, you know, Paul Brazo and his crew and obviously Commissioner Swoffer, those guys are awesome. And Paul Brazo had led the meetings every week. You know, he was a great facilitator and mediator, because when you're having 15 different coaches and 15 different voices, you know, he was the middleman of it all. And he really did a great job. So I got to give a great shout out to Paul on that for the ACC.
All right. Most important characteristic you think every coach needs to know as this thing starts next Wednesday is what? What do you need to be prepared for most? Because it's a year unlike any other. I mean, just look at what your football colleagues have been through, right?
Well, Wes, Georgia Tech was canceled last week versus Pittsburgh, and this week they're canceled versus Miami. So the reality of it is it comes down to contact tracing. And, you know, if we can get approved of some wearable technology that would maybe allow the contact tracing situation to ease up a tad bit, if without that or without a change in contact tracing, I think there's a high probability and a high chance that there's going to be high cancellations, because you have to make a decision once you start testing three times a week. If the rule based on the CDC says 15 minutes accumulation within 6 feet, well, if you follow those guidelines, which, you know, people are, and you're testing more frequently, and the more frequent testing doesn't eliminate contact tracing, you're going to, if there's a positive case, you're going to get shut down and not get to the game. And so I think the decision becomes is how much do we have contact practicing and, you know, full, you know, 5-on-5 to body to body. And the reality of this, to be prepared and play well, you need to have body to body contact, body to body practicing, you know, where there's, you know, which is going to exceed the 15 minutes within 6 feet. And so how do you not, and then that's going to be the question. Are you going to go with that, with taking the risk that there's a possibility that because of the more testing now, starting with the week out, you could have a positive, we could shut you down? Or do you just play it safe and say, we're not going to have any contact practices, with the goal in mind of just getting to the game floor, knowing that we could be off rhythm, sync, not really be as good as we could have been with body to body practices. I think that's going to be a big, big decision and talk about throughout this time period. And you saw what Mr. Gavitt from the NC2A said yesterday. Before, it was 13 games was to qualify for the NC2A tournament. Now it's even less than that. There's a waiver you can get if you play less than 13. Because people know there's going to be a lot of cancellations, and I think everybody knows that. And how do we get around that? So just getting to the games is going to be a big thing.
By the way, let's just assume that we can get to the games and we have somewhat of a season. Do you like the idea of a centralized tournament where everybody says, hey, we're going to show up in Indianapolis and let's go play? You like that or not?
Well, yeah, I think it's the only way to get it done. I think as you move to multiple sites, there's more, you know, obviously you have your county health directors and different guidelines. So at least moving it to a central location, I think, smart. And the reality of it is, Mark and Wes, and you heard it, hear me first. I mean, I'm hoping they keep at 68, but there could be a situation where we say, hey, just to make this work, we might have to go to 32 or 16 and just have, you know, and have less teams, but be able to make it work. I think that's going to be based on how numbers are moving forward. I think everything is up in the air and it's just going to be really day by day and on how that goes. And we'll see how things go, because we're starting next Wednesday. And, you know, we play Wednesday, for example, for us, we play Wednesday, Friday, and then the following Sunday. And so, you know, we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised that when we get to the NC2A tournament, if they lessen the teams from 68, and I hope they keep it at 68, but they could go to 32 or 16 just to be able to say, we've got to get this tournament in, depending on the situation. If, you know, the numbers weren't going down at that time.
1 week from today, right, Wes, we finally get started. Hopefully get started. Basketball, it's here.
You like that 32 idea, don't you?
I do. I like that 32 a lot. You want to make the regular season intriguing? You let everybody know only 32 you're going. You'll see everybody every night getting after it. I promise you that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.